you could just like, yeah, whatever position you're comfortable in. All right. So we're going to start off by having you just, you know, introduce yourself, right? Mm. Name, age, nationality, how long you've lived in Lewiston.
All right. So my name is Abdulhab Mohammed. I'm 22 years old, and I'm Somali, Somali-American. I was born in Atlanta, moved to Lewiston in 2008. So I lived here for like about, close to 15?
How old were you, kid?
14. I was 8. Wow. 2008, yeah. What, that's like the third grade? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah, I feel like, that was like around the third grade, so I really didn't have my full self developed yet, like my identity and stuff like that. I was still like, you know, learning things. I went from like an urban environment, and it wasn't too urban. It wasn't like I was in like downtown Atlanta. I was like more in like the suburbs a little bit, so it would be like me closed off in my neighborhood, you know what I mean, stuff like that, but I'd still be able to like go to school, see like a lot of folks of color, which was nice. That's something I remembered a lot. And then when I came here, it was just different. It was just like a lot of, it became cold quicker.
Mm-hmm.
It was like a lot of different types of people. I saw a lot of people who are white, but I also saw like a lot of Somali people.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Was that different from being in Atlanta?
Yeah, it was kind of different because like the only Somali people I'd be seeing were like if I travel outside of like my area.
Oh.
You know what I mean? Like my neighborhood, my neighborhood would have like a couple Somali people in it, you know what I mean? But it wasn't like a whole community.
Okay.
I feel like that's changed over time. But like then it was like a lot of Somali people were living like kind of impoverished areas, like just like kind of like townhomes and whatnot.
In Atlanta?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And that's why, like, I don't know, I kind of see the development of, like, folks I, like, lived with in Atlanta, like, how they kind of, like, assimilate closer with like, blackness and black culture because they live within that environment, you know what I mean?
So, you came to Lewiston, you were 8.
Mm.
Why? Why the move? Why did your family move up here? And also, like, yeah, why do you stay, right?
I mean, so from my understanding, right, it's like a lot of Somali, like a couple of Somali folks figured out this spot called Lewiston, Maine.
Mm-hmm.
And with them figuring it out, you know, just word of mouth that, hey, it's a very good place to raise your kids. It's a small place. It got good education. You know what I mean? We can build our own community here, right? And just like not be influenced by, you know, the environment that we're in or the people that are in our environment type thing. So I feel like it was largely due to that, and also kind of like what Maine had to offer for immigrants maybe, and like the resources and systems in place for people like, you know, coming into this country and like raising a family and whatnot and making sure they stay out of trouble compared to like more urban spheres.
What did your mom tell you about? Did she say anything about like why?
She was like, it's like Atlanta was just like a bit fast. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, you know, once you hit that stage of like, you know, middle school, high school, you know, you start wanting to like, oh, let me go hang out with my friends, and it's like you never know what they're gonna do, your kids gonna do. So it's like, you know, I feel like out here in Lewiston, it's like you can leave your back door open and it'll be safe. You know what I mean? So I feel like it was largely that, and it's like staying out of trouble, kind of like being safe, and it's like, I don't know, maybe it was like also like the areas that were being lived in. Like, I'm not gonna lie, like where I lived, it was kind of nice. Like, it wasn't like the best, but it was nice, like because we had a house.
Right.
You know what I mean? Not a lot of people had houses and stuff, and like my dad got the house like the 90s, like the 80s or the 90s, something like that, when it was like kind of cheap.
Mm-hmm.
And we just had it the whole time. We still have it to this day.
Yeah.
So it's like we were able to live there, nice little neighborhood. And for me, like creating my own thoughts, like me as an adult now, like I kind of look back at it and I think it's, you know, even research that I've done is kind of like, you know, probably our parents seen us losing who we are, like some being Somali and whatnot, you know what I mean? Not to say it's like a bad thing, but like in Somalia, race doesn't exist, you know? Like the only identity is being Somali and being Muslim, you know? That's who you are, you know what I mean? So like the whole idea of like, I'm black, I'm white, stuff like that, it's like, it's confusing to them because they're like, no, I'm Somali, you know what I mean? And I feel like that holds more weight than saying like something that's created by a white person, you know what I mean? Like the whole concept of race, you know what I'm saying? And it's difficult to kind of like, you know, you can talk about the conversation on the part of like African Americans in the country and whatnot, but like I feel like our parents kind of see in that lens, like, you know what I mean? That's what they're understanding. That's all they know. That's right. All they see. And us is like, you know, we're raised into something. Like we don't know. We're like, oh, why do we move to somewhere that's so like small, boring, and it gets cold?
Right.
You know. And yeah, it just sucks. You know what I'm saying? But like, I feel like I built some character. You know what I mean? Right. Who I am today and whatnot. So yeah, I think there's a lot of different components.
Right.
Things that my parents are hiding from me, maybe, mm-hmm. maybe things, you know, right. Stuff like that.
So you came up here in third grade, you finished high school, went through all your schooling here, you went to Bates College, graduated Bates.
Yeah.
So like, why stay in Lewiston for college, after college?
You know, I made a mature decision, you feel me? But also too is like, you know, I kind of set back after I made the decision initially and just like, hey, you know, it might not be too bad because I already know the city. Like, I'm already 10 steps ahead of everybody. Mm-hmm. They're already trying to figure out how to, you know, get to Lisbon Street and get some Sambusas. When it's like, you know, that's my backyard.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I felt like that. And also, it's kind of like staying close to my mom, the fam, you know. I feel like it's like a yin and a yang. You know, it's good. It comes with its good, comes with its bad sometimes. But overall, I was thankful and grateful because it was like so easy. Like, I didn't have so the stresses that other people had on like moving out during quarantine. You know what I mean? Like, I just took 3 car rides back from my dorm to my house and I was done. You know what I mean? Stuff like that. It's like little advantages like that. So, and my family could come visit. I couldn't visit my family anytime.
Yeah.
Never really got homesick. Right. Which is kind of a good thing and a bad thing because I want to miss my family too. You know what I'm saying? But like, but yeah, I feel like that's the main deciding factor, and I'm grateful for that because it's making me more. I don't know what's that word. It's like ready to see the world on my own.
Okay. Yeah. And so now that you graduated, you're here working. Tell me a little bit about the work that you do.
So I'm a case manager. I'm a targeted case manager working solely right now with kids with an agency called Bright Future Health Through You. And basically, mainly my work is consisted of assisting, supporting, advocating, and linking our clients to different services. Basic services ranging from, you know, education, to housing needs, to financial. So all types of things, you know, basic living things to help our clients' lives be a bit more stable and then go in a direction where they can be independent on their own and not rely on our services.
Mm-hmm.
That's really our goal. So, yeah.
Okay. So that's what you do for work. Now, you talked a bit about being Somali, being Muslim. How would you define your community in Lewiston? Like, what does that mean to you?
Community in Lewiston, I mean, it's a community that I feel like that's established itself. You know what I'm saying? I feel like where, like, you know how people try to say they try to put cities on the map? I feel like we put Lewiston on the map. Real, yeah. Like, because we're strong, we're very, like, tight-knit, you know what I mean? You know, I feel like Lewiston, in a way, is enhanced by our diversity in it. And not just the Somali people, too. Like, you know, there's all types of people, like, that are coming now from, ranging from, you know, Iraq and to all the way to, like, you know, Central Africa and, like, you know, different countries there. So it's like, it's growing, but initially I feel like, you know, the Somali people kind of like created a foundation in Lewiston, like overcoming like the different obstacles and like adversities thrown at them from like, you know, white supremacy groups coming to Lewiston, trying to tell us to get out, the mayor trying to tell us to get out, but we stood here staying strong, you know what I mean? And kind of like building, rebuild the community, I feel like.
Yeah.
And kind of like redefined it. Mm-hmm. We like shifted the paradigm of like what they stood on, like being just like mainly a white country, a white city and a white town. But, you know, with them bickering back and forth between like the French Canadians and what was the other group? The Irish? The Irish? Or like Franco Americans?
Yeah.
I don't even know. All that. Yeah. You know? And yeah, so I feel like we just kind of inserted ourselves into the conversation and let ourselves be known and kind of just like pushing the city in a direction that it maybe didn't even see itself in. Because I do remember, like, we did come at a time where the economic levels or like the economic status of, like, you know, where Lewiston was kind of low. Like employment was really low, like stuff of that nature, because the mills were down and they weren't working no more. And some other people came and just like kind of reamped the economic scene out here, kind of giving us a bit more light, you know. Businesses are opening up, a lot of local businesses, and that's always good. But I feel like a lot of the cons that come with Lewiston is like the social, you know. And I feel like things are getting better.
Yeah.
And better. Yeah. Kind of like the issues that we have. But I feel like it's getting better and better from what you see on the surface compared to, like, what's actually happening. Like, a lot of things are becoming sugar-coated. Like, you know, a lot of things aren't in your face no more. It's more like you got to find it.
Oh, you know what like what? Yeah.
It's embedded within legislature. It's embedded within, like, the decisions the city's making. You know, the way they talk to you, you know. The way they influence you to doing something that may not be good for you.
Right.
And this could be, like, from police officers to, like, you know, like, city officials to even, like, educators in high schools. You know what I mean? Telling you, hey, you should do this decision instead of doing this. But at the end of the day, doing this may excel your life way more than holding yourself back.
Yeah.
Yeah, I seen that a lot.
Yeah.
That's what Sankofa was about.
Oh, so say a little bit more about Sankofa.
Yeah, so 2020, we did, me and my boy Luceni, we did a play called Invisible Woman for Sankofa. And it focused on the main character's identity was a black Muslim woman in like an area like Lewiston. And she kind of goes through these different adversities based off of her intersectionality, right? And it kind of like overarch throughout the play, like it shows different stories of like women of color, you know, and the different issues they go to. And one main part that like was based off a true story from one of our interviews, you know, and even my own personal experience too is like kind of like going through like a college process, right? And like them kind of suggesting to go to like a community college instead of like going to a school that's more prestigious, and their ability of like kind of like limiting their ability to do certain things in academia, right? And we kind of made that scene like, you know, we kind of gave voice to the main character kind of like fighting back, you know what I mean, like, no, this is what I want to do, you know,
right.
Stuff like that, persevere, and kind of like sending that message off to people in the audience that, you know, nobody can dictate what you want to, if you want to do what you want to do, you go do it, you know. And like basically some people, and also understanding like some people may not always want the best for you, you know what I mean? But it's like you gotta keep your head on the swivel for that, because like you also don't want to block your blessings too from other people.
Yeah.
You know, when they push on game and stuff like that. I feel like that's really important. But yeah, that was the main one main part of Sankofa that stuck with me a lot. Even in my own life, shit.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be at Bates College if I had stuck up for myself.
Yeah.
So
what had happened? You said that part of Sankofa was a reflection of your own story. Was someone suggested, someone suggested you should go to a community college?
Yeah, it was my guidance counselor. It's just the conversation between a student and guidance counselor. It's like, oh, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, you're applying to a lot of, like, rich schools, and you don't really have any, like, safeties. Like, you know, like, you know you're gonna get in. Like, I'm taking college classes, that bitch. Like, what are you talking about? Like, I know I'm gonna get in. You know, stuff like that and that nature and whatnot. And, like, I always been the one to kind of challenge myself and stuff like that. So I felt like it was kind of discouraging a bit. Like, you know, kind of take a couple schools off, you know what I mean? And certain ones that you know you're gonna get in, like, you know. But I'm like, I keep myself at a high standard, you know. And I feel like when I talk to any student, even the ones younger than me, like, I keep them at a high standard too. Like, you can go to Harvard if you want, Yale, you know, you can go to all these big good schools, you know what I mean? You can do it. And I feel like she was kind of limiting me, like, kind of saying, like, oh, I know you think you could do it, but you know what I mean? Reality, you got to snap back into reality. And I was like, nah, you know what I mean? I'm not going to have that, you know? And a lot of the inspiration I get is from my sister. Like, she went to Tufts, you know, another NESCAC, you know what I mean?
So you talk a little bit about, like, you know, your sister and, you know, she sort of showed you some things.
Yeah.
Like, you know, talk a little bit more just sort of like, you know, about your family and your family's experience in Lewiston and your relationship with them.
Yeah, my family relationship wasn't good, like, fairly good, you know what I mean? A lot to do with, like, my mom, you know, she has, like, a reputation within, like, the Somali community, because she's a business owner, and she owns a local store, Al Medina Variety Store, and she sells different things from clothes to produce and whatnot, and, yeah, she likes it, that's, like, kind of, like, her passion, you know what I mean? And also, like, the Somali community is, like, tight-knit, and everybody knows each other. But I'm the only one that, like, went to, like, a four-year institution in Maine.
Wow.
Like that, like, all 4 years.
Wow.
So, probably made my mom happy.
Yeah.
She was happy. She's like, yeah, Bates, that's good, that's good.
She was happy that you were staying nearby?
Staying nearby. She knew Bates is a good school. Like, Somali people, when you hear Bates, is like, get the lottery type shit, you know what I mean? It's like, that's kind of how I see, how they see it. Like, me, I'd see it as a, you know what I mean, place of education. I really don't try to hype it up that as much, you know what I mean?
Right.
Because, you know what I'm saying, like, it's the difference between looking at it, actually going to the school, you know what I mean? So yeah, they like it a lot.
Yeah,
they kind of see it as like a, I don't know, I feel like they see it as like a, I don't know how to say it. It's like, oh, it's the best one.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like when you hear Harvard and stuff.
Yeah.
It's like, they think of like that. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so I'm just like, damn.
I mean, they came through for a graduation.
Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure. All my guys pulled out, everybody. You know what I mean?
How many people were there for you for graduation?
Shit, I don't even know. I lost count. I just remember turning around, like, hey, yo, what's up? Hey, congratulations. I was like, oh, thank you. Yeah, it was nice. It was a good time. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
So, stay close to home for college. I'm talking about sort of being part of a tight-knit community, tight-knit family. Are there sort of certain, like, traditions and customs that you practice?
Yeah, I'm Muslim. I'm Muslim. Being Somali, like 99% of Somali people are Muslim. Think about it. Like, if you look at our country, like, it just... a lot of our values and stuff are rooted within Islam. I feel like that's a very important thing. Like, when you come to places, like, you meet a Somali person, you know what I'm saying? That's why, like, the most important, if you ask them what the most important thing is to you, they'll probably say the religion, you know what I mean? Yeah, and then after that, like, probably, like, family and stuff like that, you know? Because that's kind of, like, how our everything is based off of. When we greet each other, we say, Assalamu alaikum, you know? And that is right there, reminds you of the deen, like the religion, you know?
Yeah.
So the most important custom, like tradition, is our religion. And I feel like that makes us who we are.
Yeah.
And I feel like that kind of gives us kind of like a certain image to people in society, you know what I mean? Because everybody already has their mind made up. There's racism in the world, you know, and there's also Islamophobia, you know what I mean? So it's like, we kind of get in the double-edged sword, you know? And especially when we came here around the time of 9/11, too. And it's like, I was alive, but, like, I don't know none of this shit going on. You know what I mean? But, like, shoot, like, looking back at it and, like, doing the research, like, it kind of made sense. Like, oh, yeah, everybody think, oh, we're towel heads, oh, they probably got a bomb, shit like that. You know what I mean? man, it's kind of like worrisome. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? That people think like that. But at the same time, it's like, I feel like that's what gives us our perseverance. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like, because at the end of the day, shoot, that's how I got through college. You know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? Like, I was depressed and stuff like that at times, you know what I mean? But like towards the end of my college years, that's when I started to get closer to God, you know, closer to religion, mm-hmm. learning about the religion. Man, it helped me, like, it got rid of my anxieties, you know what I mean? And my worries, because, like, I had faith in Elohim, you know? And, you know, just making prayers and whatnot. And then, you know, I kind of, like, treat my prayers like therapy sessions, kind of. Like, there's breaks from the world, you know what I mean? And we pray 5 times a day.
Yeah.
And that's, like, Fajr, which is in the morning, like, sunrise. Duhur, which is, like, around 1. And then Asr, which is at like 4:30, Maghrib, sunset, Isha is at night, it's like 9 o'clock. Yeah. So that's like 5 breaks in a day. That's kind of how I thought about it. That's kind of helped me. It helped me get, you know what I mean, on my prayer, but then it also helped me like stop doing the habits and different things that I was doing in my life. And I feel like that's what a lot of Somali people in our community do. It's kind of like, you know, whenever we're in the rough, you know what I mean, whenever there's a passing, we always remember Alehi. Like, we say, Inna ilayhi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, right? When somebody passes, right? And that means, so, to him that we come from, and to him we return, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like a reminder, you know, like, one thing that every human being is going to experience in life is death. Like, regardless, you know what I mean? Nobody lives forever,
yeah.
You know? So, kind of like a reminder of that, like the way we comfort each other is kind of like remember about the deen, like the religion. Because if we get too comfortable in this life, we're just going to get too comfortable in a life that's not really like real. Because like as Muslims, we live for our akhirah, which is like the afterlife, right? Because this world is like a transit, you know what I mean? I kind of got really deep into my religion this like past couple years, you know? But like it's like a transit, and like our final destination is kind of like the afterlife. And we live this transit life in order to dictate where we're going to end up in our afterlife, you know what I mean? So kind of like, you know, constantly learning about it, whatnot. And I feel like that's one thing about us Somali folk, like, that we stay really close with our hearts, you know what I'm saying? And it's like, shoot, it's kind of hard to find someone who like, not acknowledge that, like, being in the fold of Islam, you know?
Yeah.
Like, and that's what I love about it so much, is like, you know, like, we can connect with each other every which way, you know what I'm saying? And I feel like also too, that's like a part of another tradition for Somali people, is like, shoot, you're gonna meet a Somali person everywhere you go. Everywhere in the world.
Right.
You go to Cancun, you're gonna see a Somali person. You go to Alaska, you're gonna meet a Somali person, right, for sure. Denmark, right. Somali. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like, regardless where you go, we have that like connection of like Somali Bata. It's like, are you Somali? Like, ah, Somali Bata, and then you start talking. You know what I mean?
Wow.
It's like, oh, you live here, how long you live here? Stuff like that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like, we already know each other, but it's like, we don't know each other. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But we're comfortable with each other, because Somali people got that, like, hospitality.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow.
One thing I kind of noticed, too, it's like, ever since, like, one thing that's like, a weird kind of, like, fact, interesting fact, is like, you start seeing a lot more, like, it's becoming more okay for, like, Somali people to, like, go into marriages and, like, you know, have kids with people outside of their own nationality, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's cool, you know what I'm saying? But shit, before, you would never seen that.
Wow.
Somali lineage is strong. Like, everybody, grandpa, grandma, all of them Somali,
wow,
straight up. And there was no mixing. And, yeah, I feel like that's what makes it like, you know what I mean? So strong. Like, kind of like understanding, like, you know, a lot of the time the fear of like our parents and stuff is like, oh, we're gonna lose our culture, we're gonna lose our language, just because they came to America and shit. That is true. You know what I mean? Like, I'm still working on my Somali to this day.
Yeah.
You know, but it's like, keeping that culture in you is important, because shit, that's all they had back then.
Yeah.
And we're on a whole different culture right now. It's like they call it the melting pot, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so. You know what I mean? I understand that, you know, and that's why I kind of try to keep my culture important to me, too. You know what I'm saying? What was I even going to? Shit, I was going to say something. Shit.
No, yeah. But I was here, like, enjoying you, like, to talk about. So, before you mentioned, right, that you're only now seeing like Somali folks, like married people who are not Somali. Before that wasn't the case.
Yeah, that was one thing. Like, I just realized, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. And they were kind of like, Somali parents were like frowned upon it too, you know? Because at the end of the day, as being a Muslim, the only most important thing is like you have a partner who's Muslim too. You know what I mean? And who believes in the same like ideals and like principles as you, you know? But it has nothing to do with like who you are, like where you're from and stuff like that. You can marry anybody you want. I feel like that's where it comes culturally. Like, you keep it. You know what I'm saying?
So
keep it strong.
Is it about being like Somali, or what about marrying someone who's Muslim but not Somali? That was also frowned upon?
Yeah, that's what's frowned upon. Like, shit, if you go to any Somali parent, like, let's say you a child of a Somali parent, and you go to them, you're like, oh, I'm gonna marry, like, an Asian dude. Mm-hmm. Someone from, you know, Taiwan, or even, like, Hispanic, like, you know, from Mexico,
right.
Or Nigerian.
Right.
What? You know what I mean? They're like, what? Hell no. They're like, don't bring them to my house. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, it's not like a hate thing. Like, oh, we hate them. You know, it's not like that. It's more like, what the hell are you talking about? Like, you marry a Somali person. Like, you know what I mean? Like, who's going to understand? Like, I can be able to talk to them. You know, I feel like that's mainly what it is. Like, you know, the way communication, kind of understanding, kind of like building something, like, because they know that if they never came to America, shit would have never been like that type shit. And shoot, and they don't want them to lose the culture. That's the most important thing, losing the culture. And I feel like, shoot, you know what I mean? That's why you barely kind of see it that often, you know? You see it happens, you know? But it's not, like, popular, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Shoot, I see tons of West African stuff like that, dating, like, white girls, stuff like that. Like,
And you, so talk about a lot about sort of religion and culture in your life.
Yeah.
And so what about politics? Like, do politics play a role in your life?
Shoot. I'm not going to lie. Shoot. I kind of took a step back from all that. Like, I have my own views, like my own social views.
Yeah.
Political views. I don't know. The way I kind of see it, like, I'd rather hone in and focus more on, like, local than kind of just, like, everything else.
So
you know what I mean?
So, like, local politics?
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, I know people who are running for stuff like city council, stuff like that. See, people who already are, like, were in positions, like Sophia Khalid and whatnot, the thing she's doing for her community and for the community. So, you know, I see that, and, like, you know, kind of, like, forms, like, what I, like support. A lot of, like, my viewpoints are kind of, like, influenced by my own principles and like the way I live my life, you know, it's just like the most important way, Islam, you know. So different things, like if it violates, you know, my principles of Islam, like I probably won't support it, you know what I mean. But when it comes to social and stuff like that, I don't know, it doesn't really play a role. It plays a big role in my mom's life. Shit,
politics.
Yeah, but it's not the type of politics you're thinking about. It's the Somali politics.
Yeah.
Somali politics, man, that shit is corrupt. That shit is so corrupt. Oh my God.
Wow.
But you know, I have this theory though. I feel like, you know, because recently, actually, they found oil in Hargeisa. They were making a well, right? And they pumped up the well, thinking water is going to come out, but oil came out. That raises some questions. Like, damn, oil. Man, the country could be rich. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, it's making me think that a lot of the things that, like, you know, like I was saying to you, like, things are hidden, you know what I mean? Things aren't open to the public, and things, they're saying one thing, but they're doing another, right? I feel like a lot of big playing countries, like the countries that have a seat at the table, you know, like the United States, yada, 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 they're using third world countries and countries that are, like, corrupted, like, you know, Somalia, right, in order to, like, extort them, you know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like this entire Habil thing, like the tribe thing, you know how like a lot of tribalism and stuff going on in Somalia, like I feel like all of that was created by the US. I ain't gonna lie, because I ain't like Somalia was amazing in the 80s.
Yeah.
Once Black Hawk Down happened, like, shit, why everything turned shit?
Yeah,
because, you know, one president was doing this and that and third, and like, yeah, it's fucked up, you know. But like, I feel like the entire concept is kind of similar to even what's happening in America now. But like race wars and stuff like that, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, this is happening, we're not being heard. And, you know, and they're like, oh, we're doing our best we can, you know what I mean? We're going to create these organizations, da da da, these programs. But it's not really, it's just like temporary, you know? Mm. It's like the glass ceiling, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, that's my thought. I think a lot of it's perpetrated.
Yeah.
I feel like something sneaky's happening behind. That's a conspiracy theory, maybe. But like, right. You know what I'm saying? That's yeah. what I think is going on.
Okay. So you've, you speak Somali. You said you're sort of working on it.
Yeah.
Like, who do you speak Somali, like, with? Like, how often? Like, what role does, right?
I swear, like, all the time. Like all the time. Somali's like in my back pocket. You know what I mean? Like, I'm with my smaller folks, you know what I mean? We don't want nobody to like know what we're saying. We speak Somali to each other. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know? It gives us like that edge on people sometimes. Like, just like, it's kind of our language.
Right.
We own it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Nobody can really appropriate it.
Yeah.
It's not being taught in schools. You know what I mean? Like, I know a lot of people who know Spanish.
Right.
Who are white. You
right.
know? So it's like, you know, it's kind of like our language. It plays an important role. I talk to my mom. Siblings, parents, my friends.
Yeah.
That's who I practice on the most, my friends.
Yeah.
We just be talking about them. Especially when we're in a situation where, like, you know what I mean? Like, let's say we're right here, like, we got some people around us, you know, and we just want to chit-chat with each other. We talk Somali, right. You know what I mean? Like, you know.
Yeah. And have you always spoken Somali, or is it something that you speak more of as you've gotten older?
As I got older, for sure.
Yeah.
You know, some people, they know Somali their whole life.
Mm-hmm.
From their kids, and they're born in America, you know. Me, it was just like, I just really didn't pick it up too much from when I was a kid, because I was just like in program, my mom would work, you know. I was really raised by my cousins and stuff like that, you know. So they knew Somali, but they wouldn't talk to me Somali. They try to figure out English too. They just came to America. You know what I mean? So I was teaching them, if anything, shit. But I'm learning now, you know what I mean? It's so it's coming a long way, you know what I'm saying?
So, you know, there's a couple more questions I want to ask you just about, you know, being here.
Mm.
You said you've been here since third grade, just graduated from Maine to the Spring. You know, are there ways that you've seen Lewiston change over your time growing up here?
Yeah, I feel like Lewiston's changed. A lot of people like... In my perspective, it's like two different perspectives, you know, the way you see it in the city, and the way you see it as a Somali person, you know? So, like, the way the city is, it's like, you know, it's growing, we're creating a name for ourselves, establishing ourselves, which is a good thing, you know? Putting us in the right direction, we're, you know, giving opportunities to each other, you know what I mean, of all different types of races and backgrounds, you know? Giving Lewiston a good representation, you know, kind of really putting Lewiston on the map. As a Somali person myself, you know what I'm saying, the way I see Lewiston has changed, I feel like a lot of us are just like, you know what I mean, kind of in a transition type thing, like, we can't stay here too long, you know what I mean? Like, a lot of the people who were here 10 years ago aren't here, and 10 years before that aren't here, you know what I'm saying? And that's how it is, you know, like, we don't... That's. I can't say, like, oh, I wish everybody just stayed here and held it down, because I understand, like, there's not as many, like, there's so much more opportunities outside of here, you know? And if you want to think about it, like, this is our city, but is it really, you know? You know what I'm saying? So that's why I feel like a lot of people leave, you know what I mean? Kind of, like, create opportunity for themselves. But I do feel like Lewiston is, like, the catalyst that, like, helps people be who they are, you know? Have to drive, be focused, not get into bullshit, like, you know, crime, gangs, violence, you know what I mean? Even though it still exists everywhere, you know? It's everywhere, but it's not, like, in your face out here in Lewiston. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, you have an opportunity to get education. So whether you want to get it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And whatnot. So, yeah, I feel like that's what's changed. I feel like some, like, I don't know, the youth is changing a bit.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, you know, like how I say Islam is like a very important role, you know what I mean? Like, you're starting to see fewer people in the mosque that are like younger and whatnot. It used to be different 10 years ago. Mm. Shoot, we was there deep.
Yeah?
Deep, bro.
Like young people?
Yeah. Middle school, elementary school, middle school, high school. We was in there deep. I feel like now it's just like becoming different. Like, I don't know, like, ever since, I don't know, like kids are just assimilating a lot more into just like, probably distancing themselves from being Somali, you know what I mean? Just getting hip to culture, the, like, you know, the culture out here, get me? So, I don't know. That's what I kind of see it, but I feel like it's pros and cons to everything, you know what I'm saying? I feel like Lewiston is also like we give a lot to Lewiston, and we take out a lot too, but I don't know. I remember high school, every time they'd be like, Abdul, make sure you stay. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to stay. Like, I'm going to school here.
Right. Who would tell you that? Make sure you
teachers, know. Stuff like that.
Yeah?
Yeah. Like, yeah, you have a lot to offer. Like my program director for, like, CZP's. Mm-hmm. It should be like, yeah, stay. Make sure, you know, you're still around in the community. You have a lot to change, you know? Like, you got things that you can do, you know? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you're right. But do I want to do it? Nah. You know what I'm saying? I'm doing it now. Shit.
Yeah.
But, like, it's still not my end goal. You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
I'm grateful for those, and that's what I feel like. The older you get, the more you understand how it, like, creates you. But at the same time, it's like, you can't just be getting comfortable in a bubble.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? This whole world outside.
Yeah.
Yeah,
there is.
Yep.
All right. I think that's actually sort of a perfect place to sort of wrap up, but I always like to make sure I ask people, you know, is there anything that I haven't asked you that, you know, you would
want
to share if it's important to share?
I mean, shoot, you know, Lewiston's a great place, you know what I mean? I feel like Lewiston is different from what Lewiston was 22 years ago, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? Completely different. I feel like Lewiston is its people. Lewiston is a representation of its people, and whatnot. I feel like Lewiston has came a long way, but I also feel like Lewiston has a lot more work to do. So, yeah, that's kind of where I want to leave it off.
You know? I like it. So,